Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
He's back. Brian Tyler in studio. The man who composed that song. In fact, it's even correct to call the song. What do we call it, Brian?
It's an anthem.
An anthem.
Junior's got it. It's an anthem.
For F1 and has done Iron Man, Fast and Furious, the Expendables franchise. I love it. And a big race fan. And that song will be heard by 600 million people when the F1. F1's... I think the second biggest sport in the world under soccer, in the world,
right,
as far as I can tell, though we don't know it here as well as we should.
You're right.
Yeah. First, I'll tell you, I want to thank MyBlue.com for this sponsoring this half of the show. Enter Adam, get you 10% off. And TrueCar as well, TrueCar.com. You download the app. So, Brian, music guy, racing guy, perfect match with the F1. Tell us all about it. How did you start? Can anyone start off wanting to compose for movies? You have to start off by being in a band, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think the years where I kind of was learning my trade that I didn't know would be my trade, but playing music, playing drums, playing piano, picking up a guitar, whatever was around, it was the same time I was, you know, Star Wars was coming out. Mm-hmm. So it's impossible not to, I think, as a kid, learning my craft, get intersected by just two things that are so influential. One, I just lived Star Wars. I loved it.
How many instruments do you play?
Like in the 30s.
Really?
There's 30 instruments.
We're looking at you. I didn't know there were more than 30.
Oh, yeah. There's a few.
He plays the viola and the violin.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's viola, violin, cello, basses, trombone. Yeah, there's
And you
lot.
Conduct.
I conduct, which is actually... a little bit unusual these days. It's often you sit in the booth, but I just think it's an extension of your music. I'm the one that knows it so well. If I hand it to a conductor, I'm always, you know, yelling at them.
How does the process work? If you're doing Furious 7, you must be friends with Chris Morgan.
Oh yes,
I'm guessing he's a neighbor and friend of mine.
Yeah, he's great
as well. What a good dude, right?
Seriously, yeah.
God, it's so nice just to work with good people because it's such a pressure-filled environment that if you're not working with good people, that environment turns regular people mean and ornery and irritable really fast. You have to be really good to get through that sort of pressure cooker of post and production and all that. But he reaches out or somebody reaches out and says, I have a project, and it's not scored. Do you first say, let me see your project?
Yeah, I mean, if it's... because I work on a lot of different things. I work on producing records and all that. But in terms of scoring something that's not like a movie, for instance, like Formula One, that is complete coincidence and luck. Because it happens to be... there was a lap of Lewis Hamilton, a pole lap. And he's... for those who don't know, the champion and F1, the reigning champion. And they're watching it thinking...
first African-American,
yep,
mom swine, to ever take the Formula One championship multiple times. I think he has a white mom, too. I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Poor white moms, unite. Come on now.
Come on.
She's great. So they put some of my music from another movie. I think it was maybe Iron Man 3, maybe... Fast and Furious, I'm not sure. But somehow someone just stuck music on his pole lap while watching it, and everything happened to time out cool. Like every hit, vroom, he goes around the apex, and he's coming around down the straight, and the music speeds up. And they thought, gosh, you know, maybe we should do a theme for Formula One, because there never has been one. This sport is something that has different music in every country. You're talking about 128 countries. There was no unifying thing like the Olympics or whatever. And so so they gave me a call. They had no idea I'm a massive fan that gets up at 4 in the morning to watch practice.
It's usually
before the mornings do practice.
No, it was practice. That's because it's on the other side of the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Practice. Yeah, it's like the soccer fans mm-hmm. who have to get up and watch their team, you know, all hours. And it's interesting. Like normally, the car guys aren't the viola guys.
No.
I have found
generalization, but.
Yeah, so
also true.
So it's weird to be the car guy and the music nerd as well. So how does that? Oh, how do they dovetail with each other? Like, what is there precision in that you like in the music, or where did that come in?
You know what? I think, strangely enough, the music. I played sports growing up, and I would listen to music. I listened to like Rocky, and I would mm-hmm. listen to scores
sure.
to get me. You know,
pumped up
to get out there. And then also just from a kind of a narrative storytelling perspective, if you're talking about watching a sport, like, you know, longtime Lakers fan, you know, watching them go through, for instance, the drama of the year that the Celtics took them out in the more recent years, that kind of storyline you couldn't write. There's
right.
no way, and I'm so used to reading screenplays and kind of knowing and working with film and having everything predictable. Even when I'm not working on a movie, you get the DNA of how things work. Sports are a complete surprise. And so Formula One, any sport, it's the drama of real life and not being able to guess. And so it's just sucked me in. So I love watching sports. And playing sports just as a kind of a almost dramatic part of my life.
And you've done some competitive driving, right?
Yeah, I have.
I want to, I know, let's see, you got Willow Springs.
Yes.
I know that one. We got Laguna Seca. That's a good one. Fontana's too hot.
It is really hot.
I think
I crashed there.
I've driven probably the most at Willow Springs, Laguna Seca, and Fontana. So this is,
yeah, well, this is Willow, good for us. Boy, that turn nine. As just crazy, right before the straight, the big looper.
Yeah, it's a very we were laughing about not getting the information before doing the ride along at the Indy and that kind of stuff. I will share an anecdote about not getting information in a second. First, I'll tell you about my blue. Blue, who introduced vaping to the world, is now introducing MyBlu. All the satisfaction, none of the hassle. You just click and go. Easy to use, one-click liquid pods. Switch between flavors in seconds. Wide range of flavors to choose from. Curved designs make it comfortable to use. And just 20 minutes to charge, and you're set all day. Comes with a free limited-time, lifetime device warranty, and... Drew likes these things because, Yul Brynner should have liked these things.
Might still be around.
Should have got on these things because it's still been up on the stage right now. Mm. Try MyBlu today at MyBlu.com. Use the promo code Corolla. Get 10% off of any purchase. MYBLU. That's right. MyBlu.com. Use Corolla code. Get 10% off any of MyBlu product. Yeah, I did a Trans Am race at Willow Springs, and that corner, it's a scary it's a scary corner.
Why? What makes it worse than the others?
Well, what makes it worse than the others is most corners you can kind of see around, and they also sort of have a beginning, middle, and end that's pretty fast. It's like sort of like slow down, get out. Turn in, hit the apex, and trail out, and be off to the next thing. This thing just kind of keeps going and going and going, and they do these stupid things. Like, I try to watch these videos, like I'm going to do with Road Atlanta later on today.
Yeah, that's how you learn.
I go home and I watch these videos, super boring videos that guys put a dashboard cam in, and then tell you what to do. Well, Chris, weren't we looking at this on CarGas where turn nine, look for the tower in the back of the, they tell you what to look for, but you're going 150 miles an hour, your head's going to vibrate off. You can't, what do they tell you to look for? Well,
just watch this. They say, look for the new building.
Yeah.
Then things get tricky.
Oh, yeah, they do.
My tip is to spot the new building that's been put up near the entrance to the track.
What? That's 30 miles away.
When you see it on the horizon line,
which is no
you begin
there.
To slowly drift from mid-track toward the left edge of the track. but you want to do that drift very slowly. And you want to use the building you see as a reminder to look further to the right to a white water tower,
which is
most important. Come on.
That's in the next county.
Okay, see those skid marks right there? That's what happens when you're looking at the white tower.
Yes, I know. I was going to show you some other skid marks as well. Yeah, and then they go, and when you get to the horseshoe, you want to aim your car at the B from the Budweiser. That's my other, that was the other one I was like.
It's before you do. I tell students to head for the B in Budweiser.
I thought you were being sarcastic.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. This is all I have for training.
The best is the graphic over says B-Budweiser. Oh, the B.
The beginning of Budweiser.
Not the one at the end of Budweiser. Yeah, but
Budweiser.
So I sit home and I watch these videos over and over again to figure out where the car should be aimed at and stuff. And so this was it was a professional Trans Am race that was Trans Am 1. So it was like the 850 horsepower vet.
Damn.
And I didn't, that turn 8 or turn 9 or whatever.
Yeah.
The problem was, is the car, sorry for the story again, everyone, but the car didn't tell me, It's a weird thing. First, I went out and qualified in this car, and then I came back and I was like, the digital dash, Chris will show it to you. The digital dash had no information on the pod. Like nothing. I couldn't tell the RPMs or what gear I was in or
just doing by sound.
Any of that. Yeah. And then when I got back to the pits, the guy like leaned in and went, oh, you had it in pit mode. You got to put it in track mode. I said, I got to put it in it. What do I got to put in any mode for? I don't know what's going on this. You can grab this pod. You can see it on the thing. You can grab this pod and you can scroll through what modes you want it on. But it'd be like you pulling into a hotel room and getting nothing but static on TV, on the TV, and go, call down and go, I think the TV's broken. They go, you had it on antenna R. And you're like, I didn't touch anything.
I don't live here.
I didn't touch anything.
Yeah,
so
that looks like a cockpit of NASA.
Is going into that turn 8 at 157 miles an hour in this crazy car, which was sliding all over the track.
God. Striding
because
left.
The tires were all bad. By the end of the race, at low speeds, but at 157 miles an hour, had so much downforce, you know, from F1, I was so planted that it would stay on this unbanked corner at 160 miles an hour, except for no one told me that. So all I did was freak out every time I went in this corner.
Oh, it's insane.
But I just stayed behind the person who was in front of
That's
me,
exactly
who was
right.
fast, and I was like, he's not sliding off the track.
I know that you're not supposed to do that, but I do that. I got on that straight right after you shoot out on the straight, and I thought, and it was, I was almost rolling the tires, really like hit
what
the
apex. What were you driving?
Straight. This is M3. It was kind
BMW.
Of a, yeah. And,
fast car.
And came around the corner, and I thought everything was great. Well, you know, you have windows down.
Sure.
And this racetrack has a lot of dragonflies.
Yes. And wow. It's got a lot of desert stuff.
Stuff, just things flying around.
Critters.
And one just went in and hit me right above the eye.
Wow.
On my helmet. And just went, you know, just
exploded.
Shattered.
Horrible. Yeah, like high in the hobo scale. And, you know, everyone's watching me come down the straight, perfect exit. And then all of a sudden I'm fishtailing and, you know, I'm completely out of control in the car. And I had to take it in. I just freaked out. It was bizarre. You just don't expect things like that.
You're wearing a helmet, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, they want you to put the visor.
I had the visor up.
They always tell you to put the visor down.
Well, that's
you don't
why.
Really want to put the visor down.
What did we learn, Brian?
No, exactly.
Yeah,
visor down.
The
that
corner,
was gross.
The track marshals, when you're rolling out in the course, they'll do a thing where it's like, hey, put your thing down. But I'll
but
fog that
in a
shit
window.
Up if I put it
yeah,
down.
You put it down, and then you have the window and the plastic. And so anyway, but yeah, so it can happen.
It can happen.
Yeah, dragon
and Willow, that's Willow. Laguna's great. Willow, yeah. So it must be great that you're so into motorsports and that you get to create for motorsports. And then
they had no idea.
The movies as well. I know, but I think it's good, right?
Oh, I love it. I mean, it just... It is bizarre.
You ever drive at Road Atlanta?
No, I haven't. No. I know the course.
I get one of them videos. Yeah. What do you think they're going to have me point at? Like Old Man Tucker's Farm or something?
The rocking chair, the abandoned rocking chair.
That's right.
I swear to God, in some of these races, if the dude in front of you just drove right off the course, you'll just drive right off the course. Like, your plan is like, I don't know where that old barn is, but I'm looking at this guy's bumper. I'm just going to stay with this guy. And I swear to God, they go off, you will go with them. That's how incompetent I can be. And the saddest part about the race schedule, getting up in the morning.
Right.
Okay.
That is the saddest part. It's like, oh, what are we in? Your group three. When do we go off? 8 a.m. Friday. It's like, get to Atlanta late. Going to be buzzed from the plane.
Sure, yeah, of course.
Damn it. Yep. Damn it. All right, so I'm going to find that video.
Well, there was some way not to be buzzed. I know, we got to figure that out.
The flight's over 3 hours. What are you going to...
You got to crack that code someday.
What are you going to do? What do you drive? Well, now you got money from doing all these movies and everything. What do you drive? What do you like?
I've quite a few. I've had a bunch of the M's. I had the M4 recently, Ferrari California T, the Aston Martin DB9. I just got the C63S AMG, the Merc, and had it tuned. And I live up in the hills. You have to go up Mulholland, and I pretty much almost drove it off the cliff on the first day. I just didn't. The torque was crazy. So taking a left on on Mulholland is, you got to watch it. But
cars have, you know, the cars out there with 700 horsepower that are just completely streetable now, which is absolutely and utterly insane.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quickie break. We'll come back. We'll do the news with Brian and Gina and Ball and me right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, I'm sure you all know this by now, but just so we can talk about it for a moment, Vern Troyer, the actor who played Mini-Me in Austin Powers, has died. He was 49 years old. Troyer passed away on Saturday, according to a statement posted on his social media accounts.
I don't miss him.
Weren't given. Okay.
The beginning part of his career was just sort of based on being short, and then after that, all I heard about is how many hot chicks he would bang, and I got angry.
Got jealous.
And then that was about it.
Yeah. But, hell of a life.
Tesla, you should give the eulogy.
Yeah, he had a good life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. I actually was reading about him this morning, and I had, oh God, that's a great picture. happened upon this opinions, you know, op-ed about from another little person, as she called herself, saying how much damage the character of Mini-Me did and how much it set back people with dwarfism.
Really?
Just depicting them as, you know, pets, quote unquote, and props. And I was like, I don't know. He seemed to carve out a pretty good life for himself.
It was also working in the context of the movie. He was a 1/8 inch or 1/8 size clone of Dr. Evil. So, of course, had to be a little person.
Right.
I don't know.
But yeah. There's a lot of those articles.
There might be
a
circumstance I don't know about, but it was at least in the context.
He was described as extremely caring. He was a fighter. He mentioned depression and suicide. He was born in 1969.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
He killed himself?
They aren't saying, but they said he has been depressed and suicidal. This was not the first
really?
They heard of that. And a bit of an alcohol problem. Yeah, he openly battled depression and alcoholism. Born in Sturgis, Michigan, and a genetic disorder that kept him less than 3 feet tall. He was about 2'8".
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been dying lately, and not all of it's been making the news, but I feel like people have been tweeting me and stuff that this guy died and that guy died, and we've been all sort of too worried about Stormy Daniels to focus on who's dying. Did they, what's his name from Night Court die?
Oh, yeah, Harry Anderson.
Did he die?
Yeah,
and
he did.
Like, I don't know. My feeling is I could carve out 30 seconds for Harry Anderson and a little less Stormy Daniels talk. I feel like hors du jour. We could take a little break on, and it's a weird thing. It's all timing when you die, but that guy was a pretty talented comedian, magician, I think
he was
as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, had a pretty good career. And
in 25 years, whatever it is, when the reality star generation starts to pass away, maybe it's 30 years, maybe it's whatever it is, but there's going to be a flood of, oh, this person died. That every day it's going to be, you know, half a dozen people. It's like, oh, they were on this season of Housewives, or they were on blah, 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 blah.
Pretty flooded.
We're getting flooded with, you know, names. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just getting a breaking bit of news from Gary in the other room. It says, sources familiar with the death investigation tell TMZ Vern told the 911 dispatcher and someone at the hospital he was suicidal with triple the 0.08 legal limit for driving.
Oh, yeah. I think he drank pretty good.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you if you're that stature? It's not, you know why not just drink?
The King Lager.
Yes.
Amending it all.
Literally, just jump into it like a hot tub and drink the content.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to drink it.
All right, he's going to be missed.
He'll be missed. Well, CNN
Better
reports.
Miss Harry Moore.
Yep. CNN reports that actress Allison Mack, she was best known for her role as Clark Kent's clever confidant Chloe on CW Smallville. She was she was indicted on Friday on charges of sex trafficking conspiracy, and forced labor.
What?
According to, yeah, this is crazy.
I like
so,
the sex traffic
this.
Cop. You know, I just walked into bedrooms like, oh, it's swimming along, swimming along, spring,
whoa,
back it
down,
up, back it up.
Fire.
All right, here we go. Just white gloves with a boner. Here we go. Let's bring it around. All right. And then I'd hold my hand up and like some prostitute want to come in. I'd do that. I'd whistle some John across, some like Asian businessman. Here we go. Cop. I know there's sex trafficking, but cop sex traffic.
Yeah, for traffic. Cop. Yeah.
I could start off by just working couples and work my way up into menage a trois and orgies and swingers parties and things like that.
You gotta pay your dues.
You know, and also be like, hey, buddy, you've been blown for like a fortnight over here. It's time for a little cunnilingus. So let's move it around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too much time. Like, someone's got a traffic cop that. Like, when they do those Royal Rumble wrestling matches, they have
a referee.
They have a referee in there.
That's a good idea. I bet a lot of ladies would pay you to do that. To tell, okay,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, because nobody wants to
that.
Go like, Jesus Christ, I've been blowing this guy for like 40 minutes now. You got to get come around.
Yep. You have to start as sex crossing guard, though, so you have to start from the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Those years is tough.
Easy
work
stuff.
With the younger kids. Yeah. I get you.
Yeah.
Smart Brian Shrewd.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a Brian Matt.
I know what he's saying. You start with like the sash and the reflective vest, you know, and just moving it along.
The little sign.
Yelling where the moms can't park the vans. You can't park that van in this brothel. You know, move it along. This is a drop-off zone.
Brian definitely didn't move.
Then I move into the traffic copping.
Yeah.
That's right.
Less reflective clothing,
smart.
Too.
Yeah.
Hollywood composer Brian Tyler on hot and hot water tonight for advocating
exclusive
sex traffic.
I know about that. The background is incredible.
Sex trafficking.
All right, let me tell you what happened with this chick. With
Allison
Mack.
Know.
All right, so listen to this. Her arrest is related to her alleged involvement in an organization called Nexium. This is in New York, upstate. This group that claimed to be a self-help program, but was in reality a pyramid scheme where they were recruiting people and exploiting them, quote, both sexually and for their labor to the defendant's benefit. Nexium's founder, Keith Rainier.
Hold on. Who decides who is going to have sex with the businessmen from Asia and who's going to hump cinder blocks?
That is a good question. I think probably Keith Rainier, who's also known as Vanguard, makes that decision because he's in charge. He's like the cult leader.
It's a slap in the face for the ladies, right?
Yeah,
where you
absolutely.
Go, sex worker.
Why don't you go,
I don't know. Go to the Home
up.
Depot parking lot and we'll keep an eye on you. We'll see how you do with the stucco.
Yeah, those were probably the whistleblowers, the ones that were just offended.
I feel the same way about the guy who asked to decide to put the chick in the chubby porn category versus the big bust one.
Right.
You know, like they'll
BBW.
Have the busty ones and they'll have the chubby ones. But those chicks, they couldn't have signed up for chubby. Like
there's a gradient, though. You know, it's,
that's true.
Somewhere. Maybe they just use a straight template like NASCAR and probably F1. You know what I mean? It's just like, hey, you didn't make it. You didn't make it into the template going into the chubby.
At some point, I have to explain to the woman they're graduating to MILF. You know?
Oh, it's like, I'm 31. I don't even have kids. Online comments have talked about MILF. You know, we have pretty much.
So officials allege that Nexium encourages recruits to pay thousands of dollars for courses to rise through the ranks,
recruits.
Blah, blah, blah. Yep. Until
pyramid.
Women recruited until
these
women
are,
recruited
are these
others.
Women from other countries?
I don't think so, because I, part yes. of this, part
well,
of this is,
the,
yeah.
All right. Well, so there's a little bit of an issue. I mean, there's going to be an issue. It's going to be an ongoing issue, which is young women from horrible, desperate places. Could be from the Ozarks here and wherever,
right.
Some coal mining community here and or from wherever abroad. They have their get out of jail free card is their vagina if they want to hammer that check.
Right.
You know, like if the 19-year-old from crazed poverty
wants out,
she can go, I can move to Manhattan. but here's the agreement.
Right.
And we do the same thing from anywhere around the world, right?
Right.
So there's always going to be a certain percentage of women who will say, I will do this thing that I don't really want to do to get, I mean, it's a fair, there's, you know, there's a sort of the Playboy variation of this. Like there's the Star 80, which is, you know, Canadian chick, you know, whatever, worked at the fast food joint, boyfriend gets her out, brings her over here. Next thing you know, she's having sex with James Caan or whatever. Like there's a little bit of a, I don't know what 19-year-old wants to have sex with Hef's 61-year-old butt, you know, Don Adams or something. Not that he would do that. He was a good man from Get Smart. He'll be missed as well. But I'm saying, like, there's a little...
James Caan.
Women, there's a trade
right.
that's going on that the person has consciously said, look, I'd like to get myself out of this.
Ticket.
I don't think the Bush daughters are going to have to make this decision.
I hope not, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
They're fine.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of women that aren't. So that's going to keep... And there's going to be a lot of roller skates and keys, right?
Yep,
there's going to be a lot of 50-year-old guys like, oh, I'd like to have sex with a poor chick from Croatia. It's 19, right? I'll pay. Or whatever.
There's a whole Reba McEntire song about this. She sells her daughter off to be a whore.
This is Brian and Dawson and my favorite song.
Really?
This is called Fancy.
The daughter's
because
name,
her
is,
name
Fancy.
Is Fancy.
Fancy.
Yeah. Oh, please turn it up.
We didn't have money for food or rent, to say the least. We were hard-pressed.
Didn't have money.
Mama spent every last penny we had to buy me a dancing
That's
dress.
Right, every last penny.
Well, Mama washed and combed and curled my hair, and she painted my eyes and lips.
You could do the backstage boogie in that dancing dress.
Dancing dress. I had a split from the side, cleaned up to my ear.
That's just a song about ketchup.
It gets so much more graphic.
Standing back from the looking glass, there stood a woman where a half-grown kid had stood. She said, here she wants his fancy, don't let me down.
That's mom.
This is a 5-minute song.
She's whoring out her dog.
There it is. Oh.
Isn't
wow.
Get to the best lyric.
I got a little bit of perfume on my neck, then she kissed my cheek. And then I saw the tears welling up in her troubled eyes as she started to speak. She looked at a pitiful shack and then she looked at me and took a ragged breath. She said, your paws run off and I'm real sick and the baby's gonna starve to death.
Pretty bleak.
No pressure.
She handed me a heart-shaped locket that said that thine own self be true. And I shivered as I watched a roach crawl across the toe of my
She's gonna deliver it directly.
It was just fine.
It sounded like somebody else who was talking, asking, Mama, what do I do? She said, just be nice to the gentleman, Fancy. They'll be nice to you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This song is depressing, and the sex workers and human trafficking is depressing. But how about the fact that Rob Riggle and Reba McEntire both been asked to play Colonel Sanders, and my phone has never rung? Is that to me?
Really,
is that more depressing? Is that more depressing?
Brian Tyler just got asked to.
I know. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I think. Yeah,
I told you this was rampant.
Dark song.
Age.
I think at the end of the song, it's a bus full of orphans jumps off a cliff and hits a bunch of dolphins.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Jesus
I believe one
Christ.
Of the lyrics is, I might just be poor white trash, but my mama named me Fancy.
Let me get to the last one. The last lyric.
Good name, though.
I'll get
right.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
So anyway. So let me just wrap this story up. So
we have a text exchange between Stephanie Wilder Taylor,
the Yokosa, for crying out loud, in 2013 was trying to be recruited by Allison Mack. So here's the exchange right
oh
here.
Oh, my God. Okay, so... It says, hi, what's the organization? I love that you were in TV movies. I know my first name, Steven. It's my all-time favorite Lifetime movie. And what I think, Allison says, I'm glad to hear back from you. I would love to tell you more about what we do. Do you have 10 minutes to chat? She says, is it a charity? Well, it's actually a women's movement. I'd love to tell you more about it if you have some time. Do you have an email I could reach you at? And then she goes on a couple days later, whatever.
The
hey,
women
Stephanie.
Get paid to have movements on guys' chests.
I'm
in LA. Would love to meet you for coffee. This is our website. Wow. So basically, she's a recruiter, it says, and until you recruit somebody, you're a slave.
Jesus.
And then when you recruit somebody, you're a master. And they have this whole
pyramid.
Thing work out.
It's like it follows. You got to get somebody else involved.
Yeah, there you go. So she was accused by two unnamed women of directly or implicitly requiring them to engage in sex with this guy Vanguard. Mac allegedly received financial and other benefits, basically the more chicks she brought in and cooperating with the demands.
Well, there's going to be more and more of this for the first reasons I stated. But the second is, we're going to have a lot of people who are, when you're on a TV show and it's a hit TV show, even if you're a smaller player, you're still getting used to a check every week for $30,000 or whatever it is. And you're used to getting paid nice chunks, and that goes on for a few seasons, and your life adjusts accordingly.
Yeah, totally.
And you get used to it, and then it goes away. And when it goes away, you don't step down 20%. It goes away. You don't go, I used to make $35,000 an episode, now I'm making $29,700. You go to zero an episode. Yeah. And you're not like, well, back to being a physicist. Like, it's not any of that either. It's just back to nothing.
Yeah.
So
recruiting poor Stephanie to your sex club.
There's gonna be a lot of this. Wow.
So they
when I'm angry that I wasn't recruited.
Yeah, nobody asked you.
First the colonel and now this. Yeah,
double.
Man.
The tragedy never stops. So if convicted, mm-hmm. she and this Vanguard guy each face mandatory minimum sentences of 15 years and up to life mm-hmm. in prison. And the way they do it, according to this article for CNN, they basically get you to comply because they get all this dirt on you. So, like,
you
that's fine. Don't have sex with them, but we're going to release this.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's such a weird world out there? I sit home, I watch TV, I have a drink, I go to bed. Like, I don't know what's going on out there in that world.
There is a guy named Vanguard out there.
Vanguard.
Sounds like Star Wars.
Is he that guy with the top hat and the goggles?
That's mystery.
Tells folks how to date?
Huh? That's mystery.
Coaches up the dudes?
That's mystery.
I think you get mystery and Vanguard together and see you could pull the most tail in one evening.
All right, mystery, it's come to this. Okay, Vanguard, if that is your real name.
Yeah. You should score that, Brian.
Yeah,
come on.
Come on. This is the great showdown of all time.
He's come on the show before, right?
Rocky versus Apollo Creed.
I may have
Creed.
Blocked back it from the, my memory,
I
but
think the morning
probably.
Show.
I like the radio show.
Yeah, the morning show.
Once.
Probably. So, all right. Let me tell you about True Car. We like cars. We love cars. I got a tip for you. Get some clean out that car, man. Let's get the extra weight out of that car and inflate those tires. How about that? And here's another tip you might not know. True Car also helps people get used cars with their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. Whether you're going new or you're going used, see what other people paid, find out exactly what the price is. Kalen used it. Own Chris Max Pat has used it for his Prius. So you know exactly what you're getting before the deal. You lock it in, you get your certificate, and you buy your new or used car. It's a faster buying experience. Connect through car certified dealers. When you're ready to buy new or used, you check out True Car and you have a more confident car buying experience. All right, what else we got?
Do you want to hear the end of Fancy's tale?
I am. I would.
So, like Gina said, at one point she defiantly says, like, I may have been born just playing my trash, but Fancy was my name.
Yeah.
And then she goes on to update her story. And this is how it ends.
Yeah. What long after a benevolent man took me in off the streets. 1 week later, I was born his tea in a five-room hotel suite. Yes, you were. A charming king, a congressman, and an occasional aristocrat. And then I got me a Georgia mansion in an elegant New York townhouse flat. I ain't gonna
there's a little more.
It's probably the hold music when you call the trafficking agency. You know what I mean?
Is this a charity? Now in this world, there's a lot of self-righteous hypocrites. They call me bad and criticize mama for turning me out. No, it's turning me out.
As they should. But though I ain't had to worry about nothing from now on 15 years, well, I can still hear the desperation in my poor mama's voice ringing in my ears. She did all right.
The high life.
Yeah.
That kind of has the same vibe as the Harper Valley PTA.
It's refreshing, I'll say, to see a pasty redhead woman turn out a bitch.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Nice. I feel like I'll call that progress.
Sure. Really tells a story.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, has updated their warning about a multi-state outbreak of E. coli. Formerly linked to just chopped romaine lettuce, the agency has expanded their recommendation to throw away all romaine lettuce, including whole heads of romaine and hearts of romaine, plus chopped romaine and salad mixes containing romaine.
They have heads and hearts. What other parts do they have?
They're basically human. If they come from Yuma, Arizona. That's the growing region. So at least 53 people in 16 states have gotten sick sick from eating contaminated lettuce from March 31st. 31 of them hospitalized.
It's all fecal matter in the water, right?
I think so. And I have a personal vested interest in this right now because I had a chopped salad at Dupar's over the weekend with romaine. And I thought to myself, don't do this. And I do not feel well.
Oh, you're fine. Thursday.
Are you sure? Because yes. It said the incubation period's like 4 days.
Oh, boy.
Look. I don't have the liability insurance for you to buy it here. Just do it out in the parking lot. Like, if you do it in your vehicle.
If I run out of here and slam the bathroom door, you'll know why.
Gina, you'll be fine. You want me to get Kristen Carney on?
Oh, yeah, get her on the
bar. Just in case.
God. Sweet. Well, I haven't had any of this. It does say you'll get severe stomach cramps, diarrhea, and bloody vomiting.
You know what's weird?
Not too bad.
I only have two of the three, so I'm good.
Everything is
a good Saturday.
Everything is fecal and water. You know what I mean? Keep the fecal out of the water, but we send a very dangerous message to the fecal, which is we crap in water every day. It makes
That's
a plop sound. You know what I mean? Like
we
as a society are very interested in keeping the poo away from the water, but we poo in a perfectly clean water and then we flush it into the ocean. It's very mixed for the for your anus. You know what I mean? Like, my anus is confused.
Yeah, as it should be.
Is it coming or going?
Yeah, it's weird that we, like, it's like when the dog drinks out of the toilet, I'm like, it's fine, because it's just water. It's just whatever comes out of the shower.
It is insane that we use clean toilet water.
I could live in a world where, well, look, they have, when I went to Ed Begley's place.
The gray water.
And he had this like, huge tank in his backyard, buried in the yard, literally thousands and thousands of gallons. I think it was the size of a medium-sized submarine, just buried. You know, it literally looked like, sorry for saying literally, but this is literally. When you would see those train cars, the ones that held the tank ones, the big long ones from your child or whatever, it's like somebody buried that in his backyard. It would fill with runoff, rainwater from the roof and the gutter system and blah, blah, blah. And then he could use that water to irrigate and stuff like that. But because we're such colossal pussies, you couldn't use it to water your front lawn in a sprinkler. It had to be underground drips. So meaning that water,
God forbid,
a dog couldn't drink it or couldn't spray on a kid or whatever it is. But it doesn't seem like we make good use of our water in a place that's basically a drought-ridden desert. Yeah. Yes.
Well, Reuters reports that Southwest Airlines passengers were subjected to long delays and cancellations on Sunday.
Oh, I had heard when I was talking about putting the Kevlar shroud around the engine and the blower bags on funny cars and rails that blew up and the straps they put on to essentially contain this shrapnel. Somebody tweeted me and said they do have that, which made sense.
Right.
I guess it failed in this particular case or went out the back
or
something.
It seemed like the ring that was on the edge of the thing, right? It was the thing that came off. If we get a picture of it, but the almost like it wouldn't, that'd be hard to contain, right? That particular part.
Well, the
portion.
The plan was is keep all the spinning guts that's spinning at 40,000 RPMs in there for if it disintegrates from spraying into the cabin of the plane. And somebody sent me a test where they took a Rolls-Royce engine, they spooled it up to 1,000,000 RPM and just blew it up, and it did contain it. Oh. Now, that's a big Rolls-Royce engine on a 777 or something like that, but it's not the Southwest one. But sure. I'd be curious if something failed. You don't have to show it, Chris, but if something failed or they didn't have that.
Well, so that's kind of why there were 40 flights delayed and canceled. They were anticipating, they anticipated after the airline announced, obviously, there was going to be major quick inspections. 40 flights canceled as crews took, that was just in one day, I think that was on Sunday, took a close look at the fan blade inside the engines, which was the cause of the accident. The results of the inspections have not been announced. It's unclear if there's going to be more cancellations. The FAA has ordered the inspection of 700 more planes. So, are you flying Southwest?
I'm flying probably one of those stupid planes to Atlanta on Thursday.
Does it ever make you guys nervous if you end up on an old plane? Like there are planes that, I was on one recently, maybe the last couple of years, that had ashtrays welded shut.
That's
and I'm
not
like,
a good sign.
Old TWA plane or something.
I know they're refurbished. I know they're inspected. But
new paint job.
Yeah.
I don't like. I don't like that.
It freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I mean, it's so unnatural. We're you're sitting in a chair in the sky. Mm-hmm. You know, but I look at just the odds. It's incredibly safe. It's just something about my brain when I get up there. I think this is.
We're not supposed to be here.
This is bizarre.
We're not supposed to be up there.
When I flew back from Atlantic City with Leno and I told my snobby agent who's in, who knows all the planes. You know, all he does is sit around and read Rob Report all day, and look at used airplanes and yachts and stuff. And I told him this thing was a, it was like a Messerschmitt something or Bombardier or something. And I said, I talked to the pilot, and this was a 700. And Baby Doll knows so much. He said, they make a 400 and they make an 800. They don't make a 700. And I said, the guy flew the plane, said it was a Bombardier 700 or whatever it was. And eventually we got to the bottom of it. Baby Doll didn't know it because they stopped making the plane in 1977.
Oh, no.
Like it was literally that old.
Oh, boy.
An airplane. It would have been the day the comedy died. Or the guys who like cars in comedy died.
Yep, 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 yep. Yeah.
The LA-based car enthusiast comedians.
Yes. Yeah.
Down one
block. Well, Jimmy Kimmel celebrated his son Billy's first birthday on Saturday after a rough and a long year of heart surgeries. The late night TV, was there a party or anything? Or?
No, but he sent me a picture of him and a monkey.
What?
Billy and a monkey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty cute.
An actual monkey.
The late night.
Yeah, an actual monkey.
Oh, okay.
I got to read email. I can't read well, and then everything's a chain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it's red.
I got an email from Jimmy, but with a couple other guys on it, like some. I don't know chain emails well enough to know who did the first email.
Okay. All right.
You have to go to the bottom. Usually.
I got
to
figure it out.
Yeah, you start from the bottom. Yeah, yeah.
It was an email.
Emails.
We had somebody pulled out a folder of like man show potential ideas.
Uh-huh.
And they're insane. Say, if Sean Hannity got a hold of these ideas, he'd do 2 months on it. We were laughing that, can you imagine how insane these ideas would be? Like, like sea monkey crabs or something like that. Just stupid ideas, because we'd always have to keep a big folder of ideas for next season or stuff we could flesh out or whatever it is. So
spitballing.
Somebody sent me that. That was a chain. And then I sent back, I just wrote, I was just watching Jimmy marries a monkey. Jimmy takes a monkey wife. And I was laughing my ass off. It's a super funny bit. And I just sent back that. Oh, I was just watching You Married a Monkey, and it made me laugh my ass off. And then a day later, I got a picture of Billy standing next to a monkey, but it was a chain.
Full circle.
And I don't know. I don't
have anything to go
sift through it and figure it out whether it was in a response to the monkey.
That's kind of a chicken or egg situation here.
Yeah.
What started this?
Yeah. What started it? And again, I'm not good enough.
No, but no way to know.
There's no way to know. It's unknowable. Yeah. It's unknowable, and I'm not going to venture a guess and be wrong.
History's mysteries.
Yeah. History's mysteries.
Well, happy birthday, Billy.
Yeah, happy birthday, Billy.
Big milestone for a little boy.
Yeah. We sent him something. I don't know what
was it? What did you pick personally?
No way to know.
I talked. Lynette went online and did something. I don't know.
Don't romanticize it.
I don't. There's just no getting anyone gifts anymore. Once you hit a certain bracket, it's everyone gets whatever they want, you know. And then also you run into this thing where you go, oh, Jimmy loves cooking. I'll get him one of those pizza stones for the. Yeah. You don't think he has 137 of those? It's three in his car. They're all better than yours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You just can't just run out of stuff.
Well, and when you say, like, I'm going to get you something you'd never get yourself, well, then why would I want it? What do you do?
Jimmy is good, and he does figure that stuff out for other people, but I'm not nearly considerate
enough.
His
pizza stones are, like, smelt by Chris Bianco himself.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, there was a time when I bought him just a pizza stone, which was a good gift, but we're well past that. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Hold on. Tech advances have made engines smaller and more powerful, more efficient. Yeah, but they got to work harder. So they need a little better lubricant in there, and that's where Castrol Edge comes in. Oh, I'm doing a live show with Jimmy coming up. I'll tell you about that in a second. Castrol Edge collaborated with the Electronic Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the need for speed video games. You can find out if the real or computer-based driving skills are superior. So check it out for yourself. And check it out at Castrol USA YouTube page and check out that video. Yeah, I'm doing a live show. I'll get into some more details about it, but June 14th at Flappers. In Burbank on June 14th. No.
Okay.
But we want it to be a good show.
Yeah.
It's a stand-up show for me, but Jimmy's going to be with me, and I'll give you more details about it as we press on. And you can look at my phone, MaxPat, and figure out who sent what video.
Yeah, we're on it right now.
Forensic. I need email to know. Yeah. Research.
All right. Yeah. Well, this story comes with a little bit of a warning because it will ruin the majesty of magic. Mm-mm. Is everyone okay with that?
Mm. No.
I don't know. You might want to skip ahead. This is
what
a spoiler.
What happened to Copperfield Sex Island?
I think it still exists.
I was going to say.
This is a Copperfield story, but it doesn't have anything to do with that.
Mm. Oh. I feel like that one just kind of... There was a Copperfield story. There was a Stallone story that was pretty good that was out there. And
I know both those guys.
They just kind of slid on by, right?
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I don't know. Where did those slip by? You mean today?
Well, Stallone had a pretty big Me Too story out there with the ladies that involved a security guard and blah, blah, blah. And that thing just kind of came and went in the night. Mm. And Copperfield had a Sex Island-y thing.
And he made it disappear?
Yes, he made that story disappear. And then there are other stories who have legs, like Al Franken or something, but there doesn't seem to be seem to be that much there.
Because there's a picture.
It's maybe. Somebody tweeted me and went, hey, you always forget about the part where he forced the kiss on the whatever. It's like USO backstage. They were like rehearsing the part of the play where the husband and wife kiss or whatever. And he actually kind of went for it or whatever. But that's still not what we're talking about here in terms of the Reba McEntire song.
Fancy. That's right. Now we're talking. Yeah.
It's no fancy.
The bar's super high.
Okay, so David Copperfield's been forced to spill the beans on how he makes people disappear on stage. Oh. So the magician is being sued for negligence by a British man named Gavin Cox, who claims to have been seriously injured when he took part in the star's Lucky 13 trick at MGM in 2013. So Chris Kenner, that's Copperfield's executive producer, explained how the illusion works. He had to in a defense in court.
I don't
feel comfortable reading
it. A loophole.
No,
I know.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
No, it's
all right,
yeah.
We're gonna skip it. You can
mystery.
Look it up yourself. Cox says, "I'll just say this."
Well, he's injured, disappearing.
Yeah, and now you've mentioned this. Not real.
It's hazardous.
How
when
dare you
get
I don't know
disappeared
what to believe anymore.
Right.
We'll just say that
I'm
he,
gonna go hatch. Got to be hatch.
Trap door, right?
If you're gonna be injured,
it's magic. Mm-hmm.
Or hoisted away. Trap door hoisted one over the other.
That's what's so cool about Penn and Teller showing.
I love that.
You go to the show and they just show you and you're still amazed.
You still have no idea.
How on earth are they able to do that in front of my eyes?
Yeah.
Who sent the email that had all these man show ideas?
Okay, so it was
David Copperfield.
It was Kellison.
Oh, he sent the idea.
Yeah, Danny
sent
Two Sheets.
That thing. And then you responded, oh, I just saw the thing with Jimmy and the monkey. It was funny as shit. And then Jimmy responded to your email with a picture of Billy and the monkey going.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. And then he writes with a caption, like father, ..
All right. So I got to respond to that. Always a little confused.
Balls in your
court.
I feel
like he just did.
All right.
Open response. All right, we're going to move on. I'm not going to spoil the
weird timing, right?
Very.
The monkey. Unless he had a monkey laying around.
That's...
I don't think he does.
Bubbles. Yeah. So a bus driver in New York's been fired for watching TV on his phone while driving passengers to an outlet mall for a day of shopping.
What's wrong with that?
Right? One passenger captured the driver on video and alerted the tour bus company immediately. The company reviewed the video, which shows the driver's head swiveling between the road and the cell phone trying to watch his stories.
And the wipers are on, which means it's raining.
Yeah. The spokesman for the company says the driver's been fired and the passenger who took the video has been given a full refund.
Yeah. Mm. Now going back to being a full-time pilot. This notion of taking some of the worst people on the planet and then putting 40 souls behind them and have them drive mountain roads in the rain and tours and go to Vegas with elderly people or brands and stuff, it's ill-conceived, right? Like, how many bus
and children
accidents,
every day to school.
Like, when you hear about accidents, it's a lot of bus accidents over the years.
Yeah.
And the reason... why we have a lot of bus accidents, because the threshold to being a bus driver just means you have to be the worst student in your high school.
Yeah. It feels inverted, like the taking care of the 40 kids should be amongst the best and the brightest.
No, we pay you the least. You are the dumbest.
Indeed.
and you were probably throwing something at the back of the head of the bus driver 23 years ago when they're carting you off, and now here you are piloting the bus, and it's always a situation.
It's Otto from The Simpsons.
It'd be nice to just raise the bar just a little on the bus driver. And I bet if you said to the 40 people in the bus, would everyone mind paying an extra 80 cents to get a competent person
yes,
behind the wheel for the next 40 minutes? They'd be like, I'll do that. I'm in.
That's right. It's reasonable.
If the guy next to me doesn't have 80 cents, I will cover.
I'll spot him
until we get to the casino.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. I should tell people the Adam Carolla Show is brought to you by Simply Safe. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. You got to check it out. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. And tell you guys to watch or listen to Susie Orman's show, Women and Money, every Thursday on Podcast One. You can download Women and Money, Podcast One or the Apple Podcast. Smart gal, save that money, man. Let's get smart, shall we? Brian, what do we... well, tell everyone to go watch Formula One.
Yeah.
That's...
Formula One.
Azerbaijan. There we go. Easier to say than read. Grand Prix. That's coming up this Sunday, April 29th. If that's a little heady for you, you can head out to Road Atlanta and watch me in a Datsun on the same Sunday. That'll be April 29th as well. The Spanish Grand Prix is coming up May 13th on ESPN2. They're both on ESPN2, so check that. Should we tell people to send you a tweet if they like, Brian Tyler?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Brian Tyler Music. That's me.
There you go. Send him a tweet. Tell him how much you love him. And Rob Riggle, of course. Riggle's Picks. You can check that out on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Brian Tyler, Rob Riggle, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan. Say mahalo. My dick's not big enough for this.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter. At Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Phone number, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, is 888-634-1744. May 17th, Cleveland Agora Theater. May 18th, outside Detroit at the Royal Oak. That's where you're going to find the Ace Man. Also in Portland on June 9th. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, man, great events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.